Shall we pray? Holy Spirit, we thank you that you're our wonderful friend, the love of our life, our saving God. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are the one who dwelt in the burning bush. Give us your mighty favor and power this morning, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, we open our hearts. We ask you to help us open our hearts now to the mighty word of the living God that can change everything, sets the captive free, feeds the saints, encourages souls. Lord, come and speak to us, Holy Spirit. Educate us. Renew our minds. Fill our hearts with love. Thank you for that word from Franco. Fantastic. Lord, push that seed into our heart. And bless us this morning in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You might want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. That's in your Bibles if you've brought them. Encourage you to bring Bibles on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Monday morning at work. Every other time. 1 Peter chapter 1. We're looking at letters. Some of the letters from the apostles, starting with Peter's. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. We have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. It's kept in heaven for you. You who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last day. In this you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These come so that your faith, which is worth far more than gold, even though gold is refined through fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen. Peter encourages the church there. Phenomenal. What a letter. How wonderful to be able to read these supersonic letters from the apostles. The word Bible means library. And the Bible is a library of all different books where God has spoken in different ways, some of its history. Someone said to Reinhard Bonnke, why do you call it good news? Shouldn't you call it good history? And he said, it's good news because when the gospel's preached, the gospel happens. It becomes up-to-date, moment-by-moment news as you receive it, because it changes your life that moment, just as it has changed people's lives down throughout history. But it is good history. The Bible's good history. It's also prayers, psalms, and poetry, and wisdom. And the prophetic writings are just unique. The prophets, the prophecies brought by the great prophets, and the I don't know why they're called minor prophets, but the prophets who said a bit less. And then the Gospels are just unique. The life and teaching of Jesus, the good news of what Jesus did and said, unique in itself. And then after that, we have some more Revelation books, like Revelation, which is another prophecy. But in between, we have these letters. Some of the library are just, oh, there's some letters here. Who are they by? There's several by Paul. There's a couple by John, a couple by Peter. This is Peter's first letter to the church. Peter wasn't a very educated man formally, and this letter is very high quality Greek. And there's more than likely, Peter didn't physically write it. And in fact, at the end of the letter, he thanks the guy who helped him write the letter. So there's someone writing the letter who's really good with Greek, but Peter's quoting it. If you've got a secretary or a helper, you do that. I often do that while I'm cooking in the kitchen. I say to one of the kids, write me an email. It's to Stuart. Tell him, hi, bro. I'm not actually writing it. Otherwise, the spelling wouldn't be as good. But I'm quoting it. And that's what Peter more than likely did with this letter. But it's right from his heart. Peter might not have been good with writing, but he was phenomenal with words, wasn't he? What an awesome preacher. Once the Holy Spirit came on him, he was a man of powerful words. And you can hear his heart fantastically through this. After the little initial greeting and saying who the letter's for, he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. And I won't stay on this too long, but just to let you know that there's plenty of them around. Do you need any grace? Need any peace? Well, don't hold back from getting it. He says to the church who are going through suffering, going through troubles, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Why? Because there's plenty to go around. God's not short of grace, undeserved love, unearned blessings. You can get them because there's plenty to be got. Every day, brothers and sisters, pray. Go before the throne of Jesus, which happens to be called the throne of grace. The throne where you get undeserved love. That's what grace means. Unearned blessings. Pray, and then you'll have an abundance of peace as well. If you need peace, you need to pray. You need to take your burdens to the Lord and unburden your heart to him, and then you'll get peace. If you keep your problems to yourself, you'll never have peace. That's not really praying. Praying isn't complaining. You go to some prayer meetings and you think, actually, some people just love complaining, don't they? Oh, Lord, this government. What's happening to the world, Lord, is disgraceful. Have you seen the evil? Have you seen what the sinners are doing? They're inventing new ways of doing evil. You think, are you praying or just moaning? Prayer should be bringing to God specific issues and trusting him. Leaving them with him. When you pray, you go to a throne. Not just to be like a counselor. Well, I'm just letting you know I feel, Lord. Thanks for listening. Still got my issues, but thanks for listening. It's not like that. He's got mighty authority. You go to the King of Kings. You go to the throne and you bring, Lord, can I speak to you about my daughter? I'm really concerned about it. Of course you can. Tell me all about it. And what do you want me to do? What I really want you to do is this. Really want you to do that. Okay? Leave it with me. That's prayer. If you can't leave it with him, you haven't prayed. Leave it with him or you have no faith. Leave it with him and walk out. And that day, brothers and sisters, have peace. Don't worry about your daughter. Why? Because you prayed. And we've prayed and left it with the Lord. And you know what? 2 days, you might have peace for 2 days, 3 days. And you look at your daughter, you look at situations, nothing changed. So the third day, you start to get a bit anxious again. What do? You go back to his office. Lord, can I just remind you about my daughter? Of course you can. Come in. Yeah, do you remember that I mentioned about my daughter? It isn't sorted yet, so can I just pray? Certainly can. I told you, didn't I? Leave that with me. Yes, Lord. Have I got the power to sort it? Yes, Lord. Do I answer your prayers? Yes, Lord. Do I love you? Yes, Lord. Leave it with me. Well done. Just leave it with me again. Let me tell you, it's in process. We're sorting it out with your daughter. Thanks, Lord. Just want to remind you that still isn't done. Thank you. I'm aware it isn't done. It's in process. Leave it with me. You walk out. What happens? You are at peace. And God, in his own good time and in his mighty sovereign wisdom, will sort your daughter out. Do you believe that? Yes. That's faith. That's prayer. Brothers and sisters, there is an abundance of grace and an abundance of peace for you. Go get it. I need peace every day. I need grace every day. I can't get peace without praying. I'm not a person who's happy if I'm not happy. Do you know what I mean? I'm a person, I have to be happy or I'm just not happy about it. If I lose my peace, I need to go and pray. I've got 9 kids, 22 leaders now. Pray for me. And you? And I have to look after you all? I do. I won't say that cleverly. That's a fact. I'll be accountable before God for however many thousands this church grows and the other leaders are accountable with me. We're not accountable to you. We're accountable to God. You're not my church. You're his. But he's given me the responsibility to look after my family, my wife. I can't do it. Of course I can't do it. And neither can you do your business without God. So every time you lose your peace, brothers and sisters, you know what to do. You go to the office. Can I have a word, Lord? Of course I can. Office is always open to you. Come pray until you get peace, till God's carrying your burden. And then you can rejoice, trust the Lord, keep going. Sound good? Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't praise just the first thing? Isn't praise the first thing that you push an apostle, you get praise? You touch a Christian, you should get thanks, positiveness. That should be the essence of our life and always first. Before we talk about problems, this letter is about suffering. The Christians are getting beaten up. They're getting imprisoned. They're getting hunted and killed. They're getting their goods confiscated. They're in serious trouble. Peter is a man who knows firsthand suffering. Yet, it doesn't negate, is that a word? Thank you. Val's helped me that. Negate. Thank you. Negate. The need, the reality of praise in all our suffering. God's still God. He's still worthy of praise. And when you praise him and thank him, how you feel changes as well. And it's always right, no matter what you're going through, to worship and praise God because he's good. And he's God, and that will help you overcome as well. So you always start with praise. Start your day with praise. Start your life with praise. We start services with praise and worship. Not because it's nice to have a little sing-along, because that's first priority. First priority is God. You are good. You are worthy. You are wonderful no matter what you're going through. That is always the priority. You can feel like hell, but lift your mouth to heaven. And lift your hands to heaven. And lift your eyes to heaven and praise God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ because he's worthy no matter what you're going through. One of my namesakes and a superhero of mine is a German pastor called Martin Rankin. I've told this story many times, sorry, but I love him. And he had quite a big family. And he really suffered a lot in his ministry. He was a good pastor, good prayer, and wrote hymns. But he had to live through the 30 Years War in Europe. If you know anything about history, it's one of the most horrific wars that ever went on and on and on in mainland Europe. He had to live through the 30 Years War and all the hell that went on with that. And then there was a plague. And in one year in particular, he buried 400 people. Himself from his town. One of them was his wife who died through this war and plague and trouble. And he wrote the song that year for his kids as a table grace to sing grace to the Lord. That song, you might have heard it. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices who wondrous things hath done. In whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. No matter what you're going through, brothers and sisters, praise God because he's good. He's worthy. And in the midst of suffering, there's always blessing, isn't there? It's never just suffering. And often the more you suffer, the more grace is given. Jesus is nearer. Different things are happening. It's amazing. You're never on your own, brothers and sisters. So praise the Lord. Pray and praise. Very, very important. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us, first thing on Peter's list, new birth. He's given us new birth. To be a Christian is to be born again. Born again. And he's given us this. New birth is exactly that. It's not a patch up on your life. It's not God's helping me deal with a few issues. No, it's not that. It's new birth. It's the whole of your life is a mess. Let's start again. That's what God says. From your birth up to now, let's wipe it. Let's cleanse it. Let's forgive it. And let's start again with a brand new heart, with a brand new life, with a brand new mind, with an eternal life, with a life that cannot die. Let's start again. I'm going to give you, not a bit of help, not just the gift of heaven when you die. I'm going to give you right now, I'm going to make you a new creation. Brothers and sisters, are you born again? That's a significant question to your heart and soul. Make sure you are. Not just, I've done Alpha. Wonderful. Not just, I believe in God. So does the devil. But are you born again? John Wesley was a minister, read Psalms every day, visited prisoners, did all sorts of good deeds. He only had one problem. He wasn't born again. She was very religious and zealous. And if you'd have ranked him good and bad men, you'd have just put him good. But let me tell you something about being good. It's not good enough for heaven. Good and bad go to hell without Jesus. There's only one way to heaven, and that is to be born again. A very religious, righteous man came to see Jesus one day, a man who fasted twice a week. He tithed 10% of his money to the synagogue. He was called Nicodemus. He came to see Jesus, and he couldn't get him. Jesus, it's obvious you're from God, because the miracle is not. And Jesus stopped him in his tracks. He said, listen, unless you're born again, you cannot enter or even see the kingdom of God. You'll never get me, pal, until you're born again. And he said, how? I'm an old man. I can't enter into my mother's womb and be born again. Jesus said, what is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. You must be born of the spirit. Born from above. Brothers and sisters, if you're not sure on this point, get sure. Pray and pray and pray until you are sure. All you can do to be born again is ask. You can't bring anything to the table. No good deeds. None of your niceness. You have to turn away. To be born again, it means this. It means turning away from yourself and all of your fantasy of being good. And turn away from everything and everyone, and turn to Jesus Christ alone. And put all your eggs in one basket and say, Jesus, save me. And put in all my trust in you. Let me be born from above. And God will give you. It's a gift. It's a gift for the asking. How do you get a gift? You ask. Don't try and earn it, brothers and sisters. You'll never get it. Don't work for it. If you work for it, it's your wages. If you earn it, it's your due. But if you just ask for it and receive it, it's a gift. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We, brothers and sisters, have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not a vain hope. It's not, you know, I hope one day that, it's not a Disney hope. It's a living hope because Jesus is alive. Don't have your hope in anything else, brothers and sisters, but Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That's where you should hang your hopes. Don't hang your hopes on your next husband because it'll all fall down. Don't hang your hopes on us. Don't hang your hopes on Amazing Grace Church. Don't have your hope in the church. Churches go up and down. Church, because churches are made up of people. But let me tell you where to hang your hope, and you will never be disappointed. Jesus Christ. Jesus. Have your eyes on Jesus. Have your hope in Jesus. Why? Because he's the resurrection and the life. All these poor people from world religions, they have the hope in Buddha. They have the hope in Muhammad. They have the hope in their religion. But it's a dead hope because the leaders are dead. We have a living hope because Jesus is alive. He's risen from the dead. So we have a living hope because our hope is alive. Don't have your hope in the next election or a promotion at work or I might win the lottery. Let's grow up, shall we? And have our hope in something solid, certain, that cannot change. A person who never alters in his character, in his love. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Have your eyes and hope in him because he's a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead and into an inheritance that can never spoil, perish, or fade away. It's kept for you in heaven. You've got an inheritance, brothers and sisters. I mean, this just gets better. You have an inheritance. Not on this earth. Inheritances on this earth don't come to very much, do they? I'm waiting for me mum and dad to die because we're going to sell the house, split it between us, and we're going to go on holiday. Oh, well done. When my dad helped my grandma to buy her first house. People didn't buy houses when I was a kid very often. Well, not from where I was. We all lived on council estates. My dad was the first... Are you in today, Dad? No? Backsliding again. was the first guy to buy a house in Billingham. The first guy. All our relatives laughed at him. What do you want to buy the house for? The council houses. Just get your rent paid. And people didn't think like that. Our dad bought a house, but they weren't laughing the next year when he sold it for double the price. He had vision, my dad. He also had vision for my grandma, my mum's mum. Not his mum, my mum's mum. He helped her, went through all the hassle of getting her to buy this bungalow. And it was a nice bungalow because he had vision for the grandchildren. When Nana McCabe dies, there'll be some inheritance for the grandkids. It's good vision. And except we were robbed of our inheritance, me and my brother John and my sister Elizabeth, because my mum died before my grandma. And all the other relatives cut us out because my mum had died. I mean, this was when I was like an old teenager. It didn't mean anything to me. When I'm older, I see the evil of this now. The injustice of it. My dad helped buy this house. And my mum, though she was dead, was still one of her daughters. And my mum's children should have got their share in anything that belonged to that grandma. That's justice. That's righteousness. But the other relatives took it all and gave us nothing. Maybe that's happened to you. I've got an inheritance coming. It's faded away. It's spoiled. Some people get mortgages, don't they? That those mortgages where, when you finish this mortgage, you'll get a big lumper. And would you find that when they get to the end of that mortgage, they still owe $3,000? Or it's nothing. It's a load of rubbish. Everything's changed. And they had a hope for an inheritance. It's spoiled. It's gone. Or some people get an inheritance and they waste it on rubbish. Rubbish. I went to Bible school with a guy called Ralph. And he was quite a posh guy from down south. And Ralph came from quite a wealthy family. And they said to him, when you're 21, Ralph, and he kept telling us, when I'm 21, and I'm 21 this year, when I'm 21, I get a big lump of inheritance. I thought, jamming out. I wish I had someone who loved me. We were from Billingham. But anyway, and I thought, oh, what must that be like to actually get money? And Ralph was really into cars. And his inheritance came. I don't know how many thousands it was. It was quite a few thousand pounds. And he got it. And Ralph, as a 21-year-old who obviously knows everything, and is the fountain of all wisdom, right, bought a classic sports car because he was into speed and cars. Instead of just buying a sports car, he bought a real vintage, classic, awesome sports car. And you know what happened? He totaled it. Going around a corner down in Cornwall or somewhere, he completely wiped it out. And let me tell you something. There was no insurance on it because it was a vintage classic car. You don't need to be insured on them, but you can't get them insured. There was no insurance. All his inheritance was towed away to a scrapyard. Oh, poor Ralph. No, stop it. That's not true. Anyway, bless you. Ralph, if you're listening to this, I love you. But good news for you, Ralph, if you're listening, and good news to all of you. You have an inheritance, if you know Jesus Christ, that cannot spoil or fade or be kept away. Why? Because God's not giving it to you yet. You get it in heaven. It's being kept for you in heaven. That's what the Apostle Peter says, into a living hope and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. It's kept for you in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And do you know what? Do you know you can build that inheritance up yourself? In some ways, you decide how much you inherit. Let me tell you what Jesus said. He said, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where rust and moths and thieves break in and steal. He's saying exactly the same thing. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where there are no moths or rust, and thieves can't get it. How, Lord? How can we store up treasure in heaven? By praying and fasting and giving your money to the work of God. That's what Jesus said. He said, when you give money, don't let anyone know what you give. Give it, and your Father, who sees what is unseen, will reward you. He said, when you fast, did you enjoy those 2 days of prayer and fasting? Maybe you fasted, well done. Maybe you didn't, that's okay. But can I encourage you to do it? Shall I tell you why? Because when you fast, your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Maybe you pray, maybe you should pray more. Why? Because when you pray, your Father rewards you, not just with the answer of prayer, in many ways, and you're storing up for yourself treasure in heaven. Russell went to be with Jesus this week. Did you hear that? Russell, our dear brother, went to be with Jesus. How wonderful. He's gone ahead of us into the paradise of God, into Jesus' front garden. And you'll see him again. I'm sure he'll meet us, maybe at the gate. But we'll see him again. And when you see him, he won't have grey hair. He'll have gorgeous black hair. He'll be fit as a fiddle. He won't have his glasses on, but you'll recognize him. You'll know him because it's Russell. Russell inherited eternal life on the Alpha Course. When we preached the gospel and he believed, he was saved. That moment, he was born again of an imperishable seed. So he's alive. When we picked our kids up from the school, one of them said, oh, is Russell dead? I said, no, 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 no. He's died. He's not dead. There's a very big difference. Christians die, but they're not dead. They just move address. Jesus said, whoever believes in me, though he die, shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Brothers and sisters, we don't grieve like the world who have no hope. We have a living hope in Jesus Christ. Pray for his family. It's a big loss. Pray for his family that they come all come to know Jesus in the time that he's been ill. He's brought his mother to Jesus. His son and his daughter came on Alpha. You know, we're in contact with his wife. We're preaching the gospel at his funeral. I've been instructed by him, preach the gospel at my funeral. So I'll do as you say, Russ. And will you pray for them that the seed of the gospel goes into their heart? Because like every family man, all that matters is that you're all together in the end. Because as many of us are finding out, the end comes pretty quick. This life is short and brief for all of us. And what really matters is happening right now in this room. So please pray for him. And Russell was a man who, you know what, he wasn't daft. He came to see me one day. He was absolutely broke, skint. I knew he was in trouble because he rang me and he said, can I come and see you? He was managing director at Dickens and they made them all redundant. And he came to say, can I come and see you? I've got a few problems. I said, yeah, when do you want to come? He said, now. I said, okay. He said, where are you? I said, I'm sat in the baths. I'm watching my kids swim. He said, which baths? I thought, oh, he's in trouble. I said, Berwick Hills. He said, I'm coming. He came and sat next to me in tears in the baths. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm 40 year old. I've got absolutely no idea what I'm going to do. So let's pray. Let's pray. God's your provider. Don't be afraid. Let's pray. God, in the name of Jesus, give Russell a job this week. This week. Bless your servant. That week, he came to help on Alpha. And one of the guys in Alpha gave him a job. Selling cars. He'd never sold a car in his life. He was petrified. He went, and within 2 months, he was the best salesman in the Nissan garage. He was earning an absolute fortune. Then, through the blessing of Abraham on his life, he started his own business selling cars. That blessing was real. And he started giving some money to me because I'd just left my job and started preaching the gospel. What a wise man. What's that called? That's called storing up treasure in heaven. What was I doing with his money? I was released so I could preach the gospel in the James Finnegan Hall and all over the country. Oh, Russ, I bet you're not regretting that now. That's called storing up treasure in heaven. Then his wife one day, Julie, comes back home and Russell walks in his study and he walks back and looks at his books and his bookshelf's empty. He says, where's all my books? And all my Christian books. He went in the kitchen and said, what's happened to my books? She said, I sold them on eBay. He said, you sold them on eBay? He said, how much did you make? She said, £2,000 profit this week. He said, keep selling them. Keep selling them. Within 6 months, he'd given up on the car business because these books were selling on eBay like hot potatoes. Now they have a business with a massive storage place and lorries that go all over the country collecting thousands of books from libraries. Would you like to be blessed? This is the blessing of God. You're sat in a swimming pool, but nothing. Look to God. And do the right thing with your money, and God will bless you. And he kept serving God and blessing God with his money. You sat on chairs. Russell bought them. You're standing on a carpet. Russell bought it. You see those lights? We got them changed. Better ones. Russell bought them. Wise man, Russ. He's not complaining. He's storing up treasure in heaven. And he gives money to the church every month. And he said to his sons, who are now running this business, when I die, you keep that money going to the church forever. Oh, what a wise brother you are. Even now, he's inheriting and inheriting and inheriting in heaven. That, brothers and sisters, is called storing up treasure in heaven. You have a wonderful inheritance. Jesus has already bought it for you. That's the basic plan. You can add to it through serving, loving. Oh, Jesus pays good wages. Good wages. 100 times. 100 times. Not 100%. He said anyone who gives up houses, farms, money, children, wives, anything for the kingdom of God and for the gospel will receive 100 times. There's no boss out there who'll pay you that much. Not 100%, not you'll double it. 100 times. Jesus pays fantastic wages. And the second after you're dead, you're going to start inheriting them. Not that you'll be dead, of course. You'll have just moved address. Anyway, that was the point before, but I'm sure you know what I mean. There's an inheritance, brothers and sisters, kept for us in heaven. We can't lose, so we can afford to lose it all now. That's the point. You can live reckless for Jesus, knowing that you will be rewarded. Roy, you will be rewarded, brother, for all your serving and preaching. And I will for mine. No matter how much people did or didn't pay us, you have an inheritance, brother, that no one can take away. God bless you, faithful servants of God, who've lived on air and prayer because of the tightness of a backslidden church in this nation. Can we be a church who changes that? Can we be a church that honours the word of God and pays visiting speakers and conference speakers and ministers properly to release the gospel? Lord, do it with us. Make this community incredibly wealthy and incredibly generous. So many businesses are starting in this church right now. I want to tell you, get on board. Get on board. Get visions and dreams from the Holy Spirit. God is going to bless this place with the blessing of Abraham so we can plant hundreds of churches all over Europe, so we can feed the poor and clothe the naked and build and extend the kingdom of God. We haven't seen the church ruling and reigning for a few centuries in Europe, but we will. We will. You'll see it. Who through God's power are shielded until the day of salvation. We're shielded by God's power. Isn't it good to be kept safe by God? We're shielded by his power. Who through faith, you know, while you're waiting for this inheritance, through faith, Peter says you're shielded. He's speaking to Christians who are under persecution. You're shielded by God's power. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it good to be safe? Every day we pray in the car, God protect us from accidents, from illness. Often things that go wrong are actually going right, you know. Oh, we're an hour late, we're an hour late. And then you get in the car and on the radio you hear about a horrific accident 20 minutes ahead of you in the M1. And you have to wonder, don't you? Thank you, God, that we were an hour late. We're shielded by God's power. Protected. If you do his will, it doesn't mean you don't hit trouble. But until your days are over, as you obey the Lord and put your life in his hands, you are shielded. You are. Several times I've nearly died on the mission field, in cars and different situations, within a hair's breadth sometimes. But you'd be glad to know that I didn't die. Why? I know why. Because I'm shielded by God's power through faith. You know, faith, it's interesting angle, and I like it. We talk about the shield of faith, but our shield is actually God's power. Our faith shields us, but it's God's power who shields us. Don't have faith in faith. I have faith that I have strong faith, and my faith will faith. No, we have faith in God. We have faith in Jesus. We're shielded by his power as we have faith in him. And so that's all good news, isn't it? Now for the small print. And then we'll finish. Through faith, you're shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last day. In all this, you greatly rejoice. And we do, don't we, when we think about it and focus on it. Though now, for a little while, you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. But these have come so that your faith, which is worth more than gold, even though it's refined and purified, your faith may be proved genuine and will result in real praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Right now, we have trials and tests, many tests, And, you know, if you feel like you're in the fire, I spoke to one of the Christians in the church not just the other day, and she said, "Oh, we're really in the fire." I thought, what a fantastic phrase. That is so true. That's exactly where you are. She didn't say, "Oh, I don't know where God is." That wouldn't have been accurate or true. "I feel like God's just abandoned us." No, that's not the truth. She said, "Oh, we're really in the fire." Oh yeah, what a wonderful phrase. Yeah, if you're suffering, brothers and sisters, you're going through trouble, that is exactly where you are. You're in the fire. You see, what God wants is your faith to be purified and strengthened. God wants you to have strong faith. Faith. Faith is much more valuable than gold. Faith is currency that you can spend it anywhere. If you just get gold, then you've just got money. That's not enough to make you happy. But if you have faith, you can get money as well with faith. And you can get joy and peace and miracles and healing and power and growth. You can get everything with faith. What you really need is to have a strong faith. And brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. Well, I'm not. There's only one way to get strong faith. And that's to go through trials. Trials and tests. You know, like saying to a knight, "Okay, do you want the princess?" "Yes." "Then you must go through the trials." "Oh, what are the trials?" "First of all, you have to run 20 miles, then jump with that fence, then fight a dragon, then sleep all night outside in the rain. Then you must go through the trials to prove your love for the princess." It's like, it's trials. "Lord, I believe in you." "Great, let me help you develop in your faith then." Jesus said God's like a gardener. He wants real fruit from your life. That's what we said last time. Jesus said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you that you should go and bear fruit." There's only one way to bear fruit. That means you bear a little bit of fruit and God cuts it all off. And you go right back to a little stump. And God cuts off all the little extra bits. I think our Andrew was preaching about this. Cuts off all the little extra bits. And you look terrible and you feel terrible. But it's good for you. Why? Because next year, you're going to have a bumper crop. And you have a bumper crop and it's all going awesome. And don't I look good in Revelation and God's with me. And our family's so blessed. And I tell you about our miracle and it's awesome. And I've just brought three people to the Lord. And did you notice how I healed that guy the other day? And I tell you, I'm absolutely, then God says, "Wonderful. Thank you for that year, Martin. Now let's make you a bit more fruitful." "I feel terrible. I look terrible. I've got nothing to give. I've got nothing to say." Ah, it's good for you. It's building your faith. Gold is always spoken of very highly in the Bible. It's not money. Money is always spoken of very negatively. You cannot serve God and money. Money is paper. It's nothing. It's a promise. It's a promise that might disappear if the banks collapse. Gold is actual value. It's a precious metal that God put in the earth. Gold is real. And it's a precious metal, partly because it's purified. Let me tell you how you purify gold. You dig it out of the earth, and it's full of rubbish. But you put it in a fire and heat it up until the rubbish rises to the surface, and you scrape it off. And then you heat it up again and again and again. And in the ancient world, they used to say that the gold was really pure when the person who was refining it could see his face in the gold. What a beautiful picture of our life. That's what Jesus is doing with you. "Jesus, I want to be like you." Great. Let's have some fire. Pressure. Trials. And then you come through. "I don't know how I survived that, but I did. I don't know how I got through the last 2 years, but I'm still here. I was so depressed. I thought I was going to die, but I lived. And I'm stronger. And I can be used by God to bless hundreds of people, thousands of people." Wow. Why? Because my faith is more valuable than gold. It's very similar to gold. You look through the Bible, gold and faith. Gold and faith go together all the time. Your goal, you need gold in our life. When you get to heaven, it says in Revelation, the city is made of gold. I don't know whether it's actually made of gold, but I'll tell you this, it's made of faith. It's the pure gold of faith. That's what the foundation of heaven is. You're walking on solid faith. Faith is so important. It's so valuable. So, Lord Jesus, make us a rich, rich church, rich in faith. James says in his letter, they all talk like this, the apostles, they understood it. James says, count it pure joy, brothers, whenever you meet various trials of different types. And that word various in Greek, it's where we get the word polka dot. You buy a polka dot blouse or a polka dot tie or a polka dot shirt. It's like loads of little dots everywhere. And that's how it comes. Isn't that how trouble comes? Does trouble come just one at a time? I'll just sort this one out, and then I'll just face another one. No, it doesn't come like that, does it? It comes like a meteor shower. There's trouble everywhere. It's like various trials. I'm getting tested here, pushed there, battered there. You're in a season of trials, and then the meteor shower sort of clears up. Tests and trials come in various ways. They sort of come all together. But God is good. And, you know, when Moses looked back, and I'll finish with this because 12:5, when Moses looked back in retrospect of their 40 years in the wilderness, just before he dies, he says, when he was thinking about how God dealt with them, which was all to discipline them, purify them, and teach them in God's ways, he said, you know what it was like? Actually, it was like one of these eagles that teaches his kids to fly. He'd have observed eagles in the wilderness all the time. He'd have thought, you know what? It was just like that, actually. That's how God dealt with us. He didn't abandon us. He wasn't crushing us. All of this was to teach us to be able to fly. And you know how eagles teach their children to fly. They break up the nest. They make it incredibly uncomfortable, so they have to fly. And they nudge them off the edge of the cliff if they have to. God might be doing that with you right now. Why is he breaking everything up? I was so happy in the nest. I'll just stay here, Lord, and just bring me food. I'll just open my mouth. You just feed me. You just feed me every Sunday and every day of my life. Just bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. God says, I will bless you. But when I know it's dangerous for you to stay where you are any longer, I'm going to move you. And I can only move you by making it incredibly uncomfortable and breaking your nest. Because I know you can fly. You can fly. And I'm not going to desert you. You know, when that mother eagle pushes the baby off, the baby might feel abandoned, but it's never more clearly in the eyes of the Lord. In the eyes of the mother, because it's dangerous. And Moses said, He caught us on his pinions and carried us all the days of old. That's how he does it. It's a terrible trial. It's going to finish me. No, it didn't finish me, actually. I'm higher than I've ever been. And then he'll teach me again, and he'll teach me again until I'm flying with God. I am a Christian. Let's pray. Let's stand. Lord, we thank you for your wonderful process in our life, even though we're scared stiff of it and it really hurts. But we thank you that it's not rejection or abandonment from you, Father, but it's training and it's discipline. So we choose to receive it now. And we pray now for every person in this room who's really suffering. We pray, Jesus, that you would strengthen their knees and strengthen their legs to help them walk through this. They would encourage their hearts and fill them with your joy every day. Enable them to pray. Enable them to praise. In Jesus' name.